Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. We have Travis here, we have Nate, and I'm Levi. This is the first one of the year, and we're going to be talking today about New Year's resolution and hope. We're all, as a new year comes, hopefully you are filled with much anticipation and hope as we kind of go into this new year of 2020. One of the questions that I've been thinking about it. For you guys is what is the best New Year's resolution that you ever did? And whether you accomplished it or not doesn't really matter. But what is the best one that you've ever come up with?
Dude, I hate it when you spring these things onto us like that. I'm going to have to take some time to think about it. Do you have one?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the best one would be the one that I actually saw to completion. You guys remember P90X?
Nice.
Yes.
So I got that 1 year for a gift, and fittingly, you know, New Year's is pretty close after Christmas. So it was a physical challenge kind of a deal. And I went through the whole 90 days of it, and I saw it to the end, and it was terrible and miserable all at the same time.
Yeah. Mine is kind of similar to that. I did 40 days of I'd run 5 miles every day. And
why
for 40 just in a row?
Why?
No, I took Sundays off, but there was a total of 40
days. Man right there.
But dude, I, you know, for a chunky guy, 5 miles is a long way to go. You know, some of those skinny people can do that easily without breaking a sweat. I was sweating like a madman, and I actually made it. I lost like 25 pounds doing it. My knees hurt like crazy.
I can't stand to run. Like,
well, I did some of it on a treadmill, and so I just watch a show and go down there.
It's even worse.
That's a good way to do it.
That's like a rat in a cage.
Despite all my rage.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
Was it Jimmy John's every day for 40
spiritual
days?
On you guys, but I did one where read the Bible in a year. So. I don't think I completed it on that resolution, but I eventually did. So, yeah.
The tradition of a New Year's resolution, I was reading this the other day, that it dates back to 153 BC before Christ. January is named after Janus, which is the mythical god or whatever. And Janus had kind of two faces, and one face was looking forward toward the future, and the other face was looking backward. This allowed him to look back on the past and forward toward the future. And on December 31, the Romans imagined Janus looking back into the year and forward into the new year. And it kind of became symbolic of a kind of a New Year's resolution. And the Romans believed Janus could forgive them of their sins. And so they would make these New Year's resolutions, and they would give gifts actually, and in hopes that Janus would be like, oh, these are good people and I can forgive them of their sins and I'm going to bless them in this new year. And so that's kind of where the roots of New Year's resolution was kind of born out of the Roman Empire.
Nice.
Yeah. Just a little tidbit.
Good history lesson there.
Just got a good little tidbit that you might want to know. So
do you have a resolution that you're going to work on this year?
Nope.
Nope. We're going to encourage you to read your Bible in a year.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, maybe you can complete one for once.
I have. I actually did that a few times. Yeah.
What, Jimmy John's every day for a year? What was your...
No, I read the Bible.
Oh, okay.
And completed it in 1 year.
Very good.
So, yeah, I think it's kind of cool this year, like 2020. It seems like it's a more marker of a year. 2000 was a big year with the whole change of the millennium. But yeah, now I think we kind of look forward to 2020 as kind of a vision thing to do, to look at the, what do you want to look like in 2020? So yeah, I haven't really thought too much about it though.
I saw this great meme from this old dude. His New Year's resolution was to start a gym in 2020, and it was going to be open for 2 weeks, and then it was going to become a bar, which I laughed. I thought it was kind of funny.
That's funny.
I was thinking also about, like, we have New Year's resolutions and we kind of have hopes, and you get, there's all kinds of statistics on how many people don't actually, you know, kind of fulfill their New Year's resolution. But I was thinking about hope, and we often think of hope as being something that is like wishful thinking. And sometimes maybe it is when we make a, a New Year's resolution is really just wishful thinking. But hope described in the scriptures is something a little bit different. It's not wishful thinking. Biblical hope is this confident expectation of what God has promised. And so it's a little bit different than just wishful thinking. And you see throughout the scriptures that if God promises something, he always fulfills that. He says that to Mary when he's talking to her, like, hey, you're going to have this child. And it says like that the word of the Lord is, I think it's in Luke chapter 1 that it talks about this. He says that, you know, the word of the Lord is not going to come back void. It's actually going to happen in your life. And we're confident in what our Lord and Savior has said and promised us in every year. It's not just a New Year's resolution, or we should be. And that's where biblical hope comes out of.
Yeah, I was looking at some verses just pertaining to hope. One that really grabbed my attention was in Romans 8, when Paul's just kind of going through some things, and he talks about the Spirit bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God, which, you know, the concept of that should give us hope in and of itself, that we are now related to God, that we are his children. He cares for us as children. But he goes on, he says, if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And that part kind of blows my mind, one, that we would be considered fellow heirs with Christ, that we have this inheritance that we can look forward to and expect. But he adds this other part, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him, which is a part I don't necessarily like, because part of this whole idea of being children of God is that we're going to face conflict. We're going to face problems and that kind of thing. And we're going to suffer sometimes for identifying ourselves with our Lord. But he continues on and gives even more hope. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. For me, that's where my hope really originates, as I'm looking forward, looking beyond some of the hard things of life, considering what is it going to be like to be with God? What is it going to be like when this life and all of its trials and burdens and suffering is done? How is that experience going to be when finally I get to meet God and I get to be with him and see all the things that he's prepared, all the things that he wanted to have for us since the very beginning? And so this verse just really gives me so much hope that when we look back at our sufferings at that point, it's going to be like, oh, that was so worth it. I'd do it all over again just to be able to experience the closeness that we have with God. And so I think that verse kind of helps ground me sometimes in going through the trials and stuff. And who knows, you know, what this new year is going to bring. For some of us, there could be major tragedy. There could be health issues. There could be all kinds of stuff.
Sometimes.
We will face suffering and persecution and some of those things as we seek to, you know, make Jesus known. And so keeping that in mind, that there's a hope, there's an inheritance waiting for us.
I think that ties in like exactly why a lot of people don't come through on their New Year's resolution. You know, you want to get in shape. That's hard work. Like 40 days of running 5 miles sounds miserable for one, and it's hard work. You have to be diligent. You have to keep on track with it. And like you said, you're going to get up some days, your knees are going to hurt. You're going to feel like, don't want to do this. And I think we can tie that into our faith, as you see, like we have hope that we are going to be co-heirs with Christ because of what Jesus has done, but it's not always going to be easy. It's hard.
So, yeah. And this kind of hope that we have is a solid hope, right? It's not like, oh, I hope there's no snow tomorrow morning and so I don't have to shovel or whatever. It's a hope that we can depend on. We know that in the future we will be with God. And it's our future is something that won't go away. It's something that won't fade. It's is secure and we can depend on it.
Well, I think of like David from the Bible, and we read his Psalms and stuff of like he's going through trials. His enemies are trying to kill him, and he's asking God, like, how long, oh Lord, do I have to go through this? How long, oh Lord, do I have to suffer? And he's got almost this perspective of like, I'm trusting you, God, but it doesn't seem like things are ever going to change. How do you deal with that?
I think when hope leaves you, like it changes things in you, and it doesn't even, you don't even have to go to the Bible for this. You can go to Psychology Today, like, and sometimes they get things right too. But in that, it says like, what if you are void of hope in your marriage? What happens? It ends, yeah. Right? Like, it's never going to get better. I don't know how this is supposed to work. And it ends the marriage. Parents, who have no hope for their teenagers, what happens? You give up on them and just go, you know, well, they're going to be what they're going to be. And you just let them go in those things. But you don't continue to correct and corral and hope, that there is something there. There's this movement toward this better future. And I think that's somewhat what you're talking about is like, even though we have Christ now, there is this better future that is coming. And so we get the beauty of knowing Christ, now, but we also get this in its fullness that is coming, that we were into the fruition of what God has promised us. One of the things that I've been thinking about, and one of the things of hope is like when you're talking about the tragedy stuff. I remember this story when I was a kid, and when I heard this, and this missionary came in and he told this story, and it stuck with me, where this family was moving and there was some type of upheaval in the country, and they had to move from one place to the other. And there were a couple of kids and a grandma, and as they're cruising through kind of the jungle to get to this new place that was supposed to be safe, one of the young kids couldn't make it and the grandma couldn't make it. If they didn't continue on, they were all going to perish. And so the dad covers up the grandma and the son with a banana leaf, and they leave him. And he knew what was going to happen. They were going to die. And he gets back to the village, and this story kind of unfolds. And the person said, well, how could you leave your son and the grandma? And he looked at him and he said, well, because I believe in the resurrection. He didn't want to do that. He was broken from that. It was horrible in this life. Yet he believed so deeply in what Jesus said about the resurrection, that he is the resurrection and the life. Even the story of Lazarus, if we look at that, she comes to him and she goes, yeah, I believe in the resurrection. Is it Martha? Yeah, I think it's Martha who's out there and meets him. And Martha meets him and Jesus says, you know, you believe in the resurrection. And she's like, yeah, absolutely. I believe in the resurrection. And then he looks at her and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And this hope that even in death, we have this incredible hope in Christ for our loved ones who have gone before us. And the Bible says that they're not gone in that sense. They're just asleep. And that's a promise of the scripture that there's another resurrection that comes. And so it doesn't matter if it's good or, you know, like the reality is people in 2020 are going to die. And some of them could be your family members, could be you.
Thanks, man.
Now who's being Mormon?
but the reality is if they have Christ, there's this incredible resurrection, and we're only here for, the Bible says, for a very short amount of time. Life is like a vapor type of an idea. And yet we get this eternal connection with those who we love who know Christ, and we get to know Christ in a totally different way.
And I think that makes a lot of sense. And you look at the statistics of the New Year's resolutions failing, like you have hope that you're going to do it. But if you don't put in any effort or any work towards that, the odds are that you're not.
I always have wishful thinking. Hope. Okay. I don't know if mine is hope, really.
Wishful thinking's good. But it takes more than that to get to where you want to go with it. And I think that's where that hope of an eternal faith, the right here, right now, may be super sucky. And, you know, we may lose some of our family members, or we might go through those trials and tribulations like Nate likes to highlight. But we've got that hope.
It was dark.
You were talking about Travis dying not too long ago, so.
I wasn't talking about him. I just looked at him. I was really talking
gonna be
about
a party.
You.
We're going to have some barbecue there. It's going to be a good time. So it's not that dark.
That's because they were going to have barbecue. We'll throw the ribs on your casket. And then like 400 years later, they'll dig you up and they're like, who is this pig man?
But I think like that's the beauty of Christianity. That's the beauty of Jesus, is that we have hope in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the all the junky stuff, all the terrible stuff. That's not the end of it. And, you know, we want to do a New Year's resolution and you're trying to lose your 20 pounds or run a marathon, and like in the middle of it, there's not a lot of hope to, like, if you're not just putting your nose to the grindstone, there's no hope that you're going to see it through. There's nobody there to come and redeem, to come and save you. That's why Christianity is just so beautiful.
Yeah. I remember hearing a story from a Bible teacher, and he talked about, you know, we're kind of like these almost homeless and ragged people who's –
where are we going to get dark?
Ray of sunshine.
Whose father is like the CEO, the like commander in chief of the world and stuff like that. And yet we have this inheritance, this what is it called when you have like money that you'll get after you grow up?
Trust fund?
Yeah, we have this trust fund waiting for us, but we're in this time period in which we're kind of going through a time without, right? We're going through suffering and things like that because we haven't quite reached the point of our inheritance, and that what we can look forward to a time when we will have that inheritance and life will be different and things will change as a result. I think when we keep heaven in that mindset and God's kingdom in that mindset, one, it's a good motivation for reaching out to other people, right? Because if we have this hope, and this hope provides us like this steady peace or joy when we're going through some messed up stuff, but it should also encourage us to want to tell other people about it and give them access.
I think like it's not just a perspective of heaven, but it's this idea that our Heavenly Father is with us in those things.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us. He's going to be there all the time, even in the midst of our broken and damaged lives, whether, you know, whatever that may be in our lives and in the pain that kind of goes along with that, that He's right there with us in the midst of that suffering. Just, you know, there's the moment where Jesus goes to the cross and, you know, Father, don't, you know, forsake me. But, you know, God has to turn away in that moment. And Jesus, it's like the worst thing that possibly could happen to Jesus. And yet we're promised that that's not going to ever happen to us. And sure, that He's there right with us in the midst of this horrific things that are a part of this world, this broken world that we live in.
And so, yeah, when you see that joy and that peace on people's faces when they're going through hard times or their life has been difficult and they've always had this financial struggle, and you can just see the Holy Spirit guiding them, giving them the strength and that kind of thing. And you can tell that their hope is in the future and their hope is firmly placed in God.
I think you can see it also though, like even if somebody's depressed, like even like there are times where things just, I mean, there's life situations. We lost a daughter, had a wife who had cancer and I mean, just difficult and actually depressing and going really and lamenting to God. Mm-hmm. There were moments where I was struggling to go, God, where are you in the midst of this pile of dung that is in my life? And
Scuba.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just this struggle in this thing, but you see, you know, Lamentations, the whole book of that, right? Like there's this crying out to God going, God, where are you? What's happening? Mm-hmm. How's this going? And I think that's just as powerful than, you know, mm-hmm. when we think of joy, we think of like, hey, these people are at peace with this. I wasn't at peace with this stuff, but I was still going to the right source who sure. could provide peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's huge because we think of hope sometimes as like this big beam of light right off in the distance that we can get to. Like we can hope that we can just get there. But I don't think that's a scriptural picture of hope. It's that long game. It's the eternal game. It's not just this, like, it's just right there. It could be a long haul. It could be right there very well also, but it could be a long haul. You might have to sit and you might have to, you know, sit down and put dust on your head and tear your sackcloth and lament and just feel those raw emotions.
When do you wear the sackcloth? What day of the week?
You guys know that that's Thursday afternoon, you know?
National Sackcloth Wearing Day.
For Travis, I'm not wearing it.
I invite everybody to join us with that. But, you know, it's not necessarily waiting on our time, too. It's God's time and yeah. It's God's plan. Just like you talked about with Jesus on the cross, He was like, Dad, please don't forsake me. And God still had a plan and a will for His life, and it involved some terrible stuff. Good for us, bad for Him.
But it did bring Him glory, right? Like His name is lifted high because of what He did. Yep. He was obedient even unto the point of death, is what the scriptures say, and that He went to that place for us, and He's glorified in that.
Yeah, and so I think as we look forward to 2020 and we kind of look at what this year might bring us, we should have hope that God might do something amazing, right? That he might show up in unique and powerful ways. And maybe it's having victory in certain areas or experiencing freedom in a new way. But yeah, I think that we should look at 2020 with hope and expectation that God is wanting to change our community, change our lives and do some cool stuff instead of, you know, sometimes we focus on the negative and like, oh, God will get me through the horribleness of this life. Well, yeah. And God can also give us victory and fruit and provide some amazing things as well. So yeah. I'm excited.
I'm excited about 2020. One of the things that I've been just really praying about is for me, and I think for all of us sitting at this table, there is nothing better than the moment that someone goes from not knowing Christ to knowing Christ. They move from death to life. The Bible says that you're dead in your sins, you're dead in your trespasses, and you move from that moment when you go, Jesus, I know that I'm a man or a woman in need of a Savior. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that not only Evangel, but all the churches here in Houghton County will just continue to proclaim the name of Jesus, and people will respond in faith and respond to what Jesus has for them, and that they will find their hope in Jesus because he is the true hope.
Amen.
Sweet. Well, I think this is about a wrap, right? We have enjoyed spending time with you guys as always. Enjoy your 2020, the start to it. If you want to get a hold of us, you can always email Travis at travis@evangelup.org. If you have any suggestions on what we should talk about, that would be great. Travis would love to hear that. Hang out with us at our church. If you don't have a place, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. Until later, this is Pearls and Swine. See ya.